We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And away we go, episode 779 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Friday, March 8th, 2024. It is NHL Trade Deadline Day 2024. Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern is the 2024 NHL Trade Deadline. The Capitals on Tuesday evening traded winger Anthony Mantha. The Caps on Thursday morning traded defenseman Joel Edmondson. What more might we see from the Caps before 3 p.m. Eastern on Friday? What we did see from the Caps on Thursday night was a smash job of the arch rival Pittsburgh Penguins, a 6-0 Caps win at the Pens on Thursday night. Much more on the Caps later in the show. Hello and welcome to this Friday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. Might the Commanders over the next few days make another significant free agent signing before the start of NFL free agency this offseason on Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern, which marks the start of the NFL's legal tampering period. A lot of notable players are being released. The Denver Broncos on Thursday morning announced that they are releasing safety Justin Simmons. Might he be a target of our Commanders? Justin Simmons is going into his age 31 season. He can still play. Simmons has made the Associated Press All-Pro second team for each of the last three seasons. He is from Manassas, Virginia, and he has ties to Commanders general manager Adam Peters. The Broncos took Simmons in the third round of the 2016 NFL draft out of Boston College. Peters worked for the Broncos for eight seasons, 2009 through 2016. He was their director of college scouting when they drafted Simmons. Next segment, a terrific guest to talk Commanders, Sam Monson, the lead NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus. He also is a co-host of the PFF NFL podcast. Sam will preview NFL free agency for the Commanders from the standpoints of whether the Commanders should be big spenders and also where and how NFL teams tend to most go wrong in free agency. Sam also will give his thoughts on the perceived top quarterbacks in the 2024 NFL draft, given that our team has the number two overall pick in that draft. Sam will break down the Commanders' new football operations regime and more. Sam Monson, next segment. By the way, the Commanders still have not officially announced the signing of unrestricted free agent tight end Zach Ertz. We on Wednesday afternoon learned via multiple reports that the team is signing Ertz, but we have gotten confirmation from Ertz himself that he is signing with the Commanders. Ertz was on the Pat McAfee show on Thursday afternoon. Here you go.
Zach, congrats on a new deal with the Commanders. Obviously, everybody linked you and Cliff Kingsbury. Is that a big piece of this? What did you learn about the Commanders going forward? Because obviously, brand new chapter. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Obviously, Cliff has been a huge part of my success the past 2 years in Arizona. And so when he got the job in Washington and I was a free agent, it was very easy for me to say, hey, this is a place that I would love to play for. They've essentially redone the entire building since when I first came into the league. New owner, new GM now, new head coach. And I've never heard anyone say a bad word about Dan Quinn. And so I'm extremely excited to play for him and get back on the East Coast is going to be fun.
Hell yeah, man. I think obviously Commanders fans have to be pretty excited about it all, about what the future could look like. You just laying out what you heard and your thoughts as somebody that's been introduced to this brand new chapter, it's going to get some people jacked up.
All right, Zach Ertz, big fan of Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury from their time together on the Arizona Cardinals when Kingsbury was the Cardinals head coach. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Email from Dennis Kemp on what is now Commanders Field. Writes Dennis, it is ironic that you in episode 772 discussed improvements to Commander's Field. I recently heard a soundbite from actor Jeffrey Wright, who is nominated for an Oscar as lead actor for his role in American Fiction. A great movie, by the way. He is a huge Commander's fan and knows Josh Harris. Wright in the soundbite stated that he ran into Harris at a preseason game last year and that Wright gave a bunch of ideas that he had for the team. Josh responded, "Slow down, I'm just trying to fix the plumbing at the stadium." I can relate to that statement because a friend of mine offered me his club-level seats in the high top table section in the end zone for the Miami Dolphins game. Well, it rained that day and there was a leak directly over my table. I texted my friend and he responded, "They haven't fixed that yet? It happens every time it rains." When I told the usher about the leak, the staff brought a bucket to put on the table. So yes, Josh, please fix the plumbing. Thank you for that email, Dennis. The soundbite that Dennis was referring to was from Jeffrey Wright on The Rich Eisen Show on February 23rd. Take a listen.
Do you think they should change the name?
What do you think?
You do?
Yeah, I do. I think what's happening is that everything related to the previous era is being undone. And to that point, I was talking to Josh about, fan experience stuff, particularly how we can, he's like, slow down, bro. He's like, look, I'm trying to fix the plumbing in the stadium. We got pipes that need, everything.
Yeah.
Within the organization, the infrastructure needed to be scanned and needed to be addressed, assessed, and worked through. And that's what he's doing. And he knows what this franchise was. He knows what fans want it to be, which is akin to what it was in terms of the pride that we took in that team and what it meant to community and in the way they played on the field. Bottom line, man. Bottom line is how you play that game.
All right, Jeffrey Wright, great voice. He wants a new name for the Commanders, and he is friends with not just Commanders managing partner Josh Harris, but also Josh's brother Gabe Harris. Gabe Harris is the senior vice president of business integration for Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment, which is the parent company of Josh Harris's sports portfolio beyond the Commanders. So things like the Philadelphia 76ers and New Jersey Devils. You know, what's funny about Commanders Field, the former FedEx Field, is that it opened in September 1997, not September 1947. 1997 was 27 years ago, but there are plenty of NFL stadiums that are older than Commanders Field. And yet, as far as I know, you don't hear about those stadiums being dilapidated messes. There are 8 NFL stadiums that are older than Commanders Field. The Chicago Bears Soldier Field, the Green Bay Packers Lambeau Field, the Kansas City Chiefs GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium, the Buffalo Bills Highmark Stadium, the New Orleans Saints Caesars Superdome, the Miami Dolphins Hard Rock Stadium, the Jacksonville Jaguars Everbank Stadium, and the Carolina Panthers Bank of America Stadium. All of those stadiums are older than Commanders Field. And yet, as best as I can tell, not a single one of those stadiums is viewed as being as run down as Commanders Field. Email from Taylor from Jackson City Social Club on the intro song for this podcast. Uh-oh, writes Taylor. Al, as a longtime listener to your show, not only when it was on the radio, but now as a podcast, I think that you are one of the best analysts and commentators of DC area sports. I love how you get right to the point and do not chit-chat about random things to keep the listeners waiting. Other podcast hosts tend to do that. Keep up the excellent show. I have a thought about your opening music. Like others, your opening music has grown on me. However, would you ever consider helping the local music scene in DC? I created a short-lived podcast back in 2018 that focused on sports and music in the DMV. For each episode, I played music from a different unsigned local band slash artist as part of the podcast opening. I would then continue to use the song as the stinger as I move through the podcast. Every time that I reached out to the band slash artist to ask to use a song, the band slash artist was thrilled to receive the request and always ended up giving the podcast a shout out on social media, and that increased the listener base a bit. And since these artists were not signed, there were no legal constraints on playing the songs on the podcast. I know that you are a music lover and you used to have Go-Go Thursdays. Perhaps you could pick a day of the week to highlight local bands in your intro. Indie Tuesday or something like that. I know that it would mean the world to these struggling artists to have their music showcased to your large listening base. And there is a ton of unsigned talent in this area. Anyway, just a suggestion. Love the podcast. I only recently discovered it. I certainly missed you on the radio. Well, thank you very much for that email, Taylor. That is a great idea. I am always open to ideas to make the podcast better. You know, this podcast is a constant work in progress. The podcast can always be better. I'm constantly thinking of ways for the podcast to be better. So I will leave this suggestion to the people. Power to the people. People power on the Al Galdi podcast. If you would like to hear rotating local music as the opening music for the podcast, at least some of the time, let me know. And if you want the standard intro song to remain, let me know. You know, the intro song for this podcast has been quite the saga. The intro song for this podcast has been the intro song for this podcast since the first episode of the podcast. Remember the mantra with the intro song? It's so bad, it's good. The initial reaction to the song was that it was horrible. And I don't know that it still isn't horrible, but a funny thing happened as time went on. The song grew on people, and I've actually received feedback saying that the intro song should never change. So you tell me what you want. I am here to serve you. And if you own or run a business or practice, you can put this podcast to work for you. Consider advertising on the Al Galdi podcast. Podcast advertising is very affordable, gives you a true bang for your buck. Email us, see what we can do for you. The email address is thealgaldipodcast@yahoo.com.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, if you happen to be listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, you can write a review of the podcast saying that you like it. The review can be just a sentence or two, but the reviews help out the podcast a lot. Thank you for doing them. Next week is a big week in the NFL offseason. Not necessarily the biggest week in the Commanders offseason. That week will almost certainly be the week of the 2024 NFL draft, in which our team has the number 2 overall pick. But next week marks the start of free agency. We this Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern have the start of the NFL's legal tampering period, which is when NFL teams can contact and conduct contract negotiations with certified agents of external players who will become unrestricted free agents upon the start of the new league year. And the new league year begins on Wednesday, March 13th at 4 p.m. Eastern. And the new league year is when signings of external free agents can become official and when trades can become official. How active will the Commanders be next week? I'm very pleased to welcome back to the Al Galdi podcast, Sam Monson. He is the lead NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus. He also is a co-host of the PFF NFL podcast. You can follow Sam on X at PFF_Sam. Hey, Sam, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for coming on. I'd like to begin with your impressions of the Commanders' new football operations regime. We've been talking so much about what the team has done, but it's good to get a national perspective on what the team has done. Adam Peters as the new general manager, Lance Newmark, the new assistant general manager, Dan Quinn, the new head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, the new offensive coordinator, Joe Witt Jr., the new defensive coordinator. Do you like what was done? Do you have questions about what was done?
Yeah, well, let's start with the first part, which is the revamping of the front office side of things. I think, generally speaking, there are a few teams in the NFL that are very well-run organizations, top to bottom, and consistently and for a long period of time. And I think the Ravens are obviously one of those, but the 49ers are one. The Detroit Lions are becoming one now with the way that they've overhauled that group. So, generally, I'm a big fan of hiring from those extremely stable, well-run organizations and seeing where you go from there. So I like the idea of hiring Adam Peters from the 49ers, assembling that kind of front office group. Then you get onto the coaching search. Dan Quinn as a hire in isolation or in a vacuum, I don't dislike. I think Dan Quinn is not a bad coach. He's done a fantastic job with the Cowboys defense the last couple of years. And if you didn't know that he was at best their third choice maybe for the job, it would be an awful lot easier to sell the idea of Dan Quinn as the head coach. If you'd identified him as the guy you wanted to go with, you know, he did a reasonable job initially in Atlanta. One of the best things he did when he was coach of the Falcons is actually hiring. And that's one of the most under-talked about, I think, parts of being an NFL head coach is how good are you at hiring coordinators, because if they're good, they're going to get taken from you, and maybe on an annual basis. And we're seeing that in the NFL. So one of his biggest things was, everyone's seen that meme, right? The Washington coaching staff from 2013 or whatever it was. And it's a whole bunch of NFL head coaches. Bobby Slowick as offensive coordinator is now added to that list. Most of those guys were in Atlanta under Dan Quinn as well, right? He had that coaching staff together as well as part of his group. So, you know, that's an element of it. The Cliff Kingsbury hire is where things start to get kind of interesting, because obviously it wasn't a tremendous success with his head coaching stint, but his offense has also been interesting. It's not just like bringing in a Shanahan and knowing that that's the meta system right now and it's going to be really good. Kingsbury's offense, I think, is still very much a question mark in today's NFL. Obviously, he came in with this air raid system and very quickly modified that, realized right away it wasn't going to fly the way it did in college, and he was going to need to make significant changes. And made a lot of those and adjusted it, modified it. But it still seemed like it hit a glass ceiling in the NFL and was stuck at a level that wasn't getting any better. So that, I think, is a question mark. Is, okay, Dan Quinn, obviously a defensive-minded guy, hiring has been a strength of his in the past. He brought in Cliff Kingsbury, but that doesn't immediately scream that's going to have the same kind of success that Kyle Shanahan had in Atlanta, and that's where it gets a little bit concerning.
The offensive portion of Dan Quinn's coaching staff has not just Cliff Kingsbury as offensive coordinator, but also Brian Johnson as assistant head coach slash offensive pass game coordinator and Anthony Lynn as run game coordinator slash running backs coach. So Kingsbury, former Arizona Cardinals head coach, Johnson, former Philadelphia Eagles offensive coordinator, Lynn, former Los Angeles Chargers head coach, former Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, and former San Francisco 49ers assistant head coach slash running backs coach. Kingsbury, Johnson, and Lynn, of course, need to work together and need to be on the same page, but it would seem that the idea is for them to come up with an offense that perhaps features the best of what all three have done.
Yeah, and you know, assuming that Dan Quinn knows them and has got an idea of how those guys are going to work together, that can make sense. The flip side of that is we saw a similar ethos, I guess, in Carolina last year, where there didn't appear to necessarily be a common thread amongst the coaches they were hiring, other than reasonably well-known names. But there were some young guys, some up-and-comers, some old hats, and it was like a mismatch all thrown together. And that didn't seem to work at all. You know, there were reports that the two groups just couldn't get together on anything. And Carolina's offense was obviously a mess start to finish. So assuming Dan Quinn knows what he's doing, and if we give him credit for the hiring in Atlanta and previously, you know, there's no reason to think he doesn't, then I don't hate the concept. But we've seen the danger of sort of throwing together a disparate group of coaches, and it might not work.
Very true. Free agency. The NFL on February 23rd announced that the salary cap for the 2024-2025 league year will be a record $255.4 million, a record increase of $30.6 million from the salary cap of $224.8 million for the 2023-2024 league year. The Commanders, per overthecap.com, for this upcoming league year are set to have the most cap space in the NFL, $91.542 million, and are set to have the most effective cap space in the NFL, $80.529 million. The best contracts for teams at NFL free agency are almost never the big money contracts. That said, given the soaring cap, given all of the Commanders' cap space, and given all of the Commanders' needs, should the Commanders be taking some big swings in free agency next week?
I think generally taking big swings in free agency is not usually a good way of doing business, right? Because you're paying top of the market money. You're almost always paying, you're winning an auction bid, right? So you're not just paying top of the market, you're paying on top of that as well. You're paying the extra percentage that you have to pay when everybody is bidding against each other. I think the best business in free agency is almost always done at the second or the third tier, and shopping where there's not the frenzy, shopping for guys that are not, the phone isn't necessarily ringing off the hook. You can get much more modest deals. That being said, I think Washington can look at this team and say, you know, there's a lot of talent there. There's this group could be good quite quickly if we can get the quarterback situation fixed correctly. So if we spend, even if it is top of the market, as long as the guy is going to be really good and is not a short-term thing, you know, like there would be no sense in Washington, I think, going after, I mean, even if they had a hole at this spot, but going after somebody like Chris Jones, right, who's going to hit 30 years old, who's sort of reaching the end of his probably dominant lifespan in the NFL. But they could go after guys that are, you know, hitting that prime, and even if they're paying high-end money for them, it would make sense because they're going to be long-term pieces, and with all that salary cap space, you know, you're going to have four or five guys that are earning a ton of money on the roster at any given moment.
There are a variety of reasons for why those NFL free agent contracts that do not work out for teams don't work out. Scheme fit, age, injury, attitude. What to you are the most common pitfalls for NFL teams with free agent contracts?
I think there's a few different reasons. A lot of the time it is scheme. Sometimes teams, I think, are still not quite there, at least some teams, in terms of what you're paying for. You know, teams will still pay for sacks, even though sacks are a bad way of measuring edge rushers, by and large, right? Some guys will get sacks every year because they're phenomenal edge rushers, but they also show well in 17 other metrics that would also tell you they're really good edge rushers. There are other guys that will have a lot of sacks in a given year, but the underlying numbers say that's smoke and mirrors. It's a mirage. It's not who that guy is going to be long term. And yet teams will still pay for those if it's the right time and the right dynamic, or if they had a good game against them. You know, like Bud Dupree got paid because he had a lot of sacks, and yet all of the underlying metrics said Bud Dupree is not a particularly good pass rusher, and if you need him to maintain that, it's not going to work. So that can get teams into trouble sometimes, is paying for a number where a lot of other underlying numbers say this is not real. Like this was a peak year, or this was a sort of a high watermark of what he's going to be. It's not what you're going to project out for the next 4 years of the contract you're giving.
You, in a PFF.com piece that came out on February 19th, headline, quote, "How the Washington Commanders can shake up the 2024 NFL offseason," end quote, suggested that the Commanders this offseason, given all of their salary cap space, should sign a certain former player for the franchise, quarterback Kirk Cousins, as an unrestricted free agent, and then should trade down from the number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. Look, that possibility has come up. ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter on the Pat McAfee show this past Monday mentioned the Commanders as a possible destination for Kirk. So, Sam, you were ahead of the curve on this, but do you think that the Commanders should seriously consider going after Kirk and trading that number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft for a bunch of assets?
Yeah, it depends on a couple of things. It obviously depends, number one, what your evaluation is on these quarterbacks. Initially, a lot of people were saying this was like a 2-quarterback draft, right? It was Caleb Williams and Drake May, and they were very close together, and we didn't know necessarily which guy was going to go number one. The longer the process has played out, the more it's become clear, I think, that most people think it's Caleb Williams number one, and then there's a gap. And then it might not be Drake May number two. It might be Jaden Daniels, and, you know, whatever, but it's looking more and more like there's one guy that everybody is kind of bought into, and then after that, there's question marks. Now, the question becomes how big are those question marks, and how comfortable are you with those quarterbacks? And two things need to happen together, I think, for Washington to be interested in that kind of pivot to Kirk Cousins. Number one, they have to not love either of those two guys, right? Look at the landscape and say, It's Caleb Williams or nothing, or it's Caleb Williams or we're definitely interested in other alternatives. And then the opposite needs to be true for somebody else. Somebody else needs to believe there's at least 2 quarterbacks in this draft, because they need to be willing to trade up to get that second guy at number 2, whether it's Atlanta, whether it's the Raiders. Somebody like that needs to buy into the idea that Jaden Daniels or Drake May or whoever the second guy is legit and somebody worth going after. If those two things are true at the same time, then you're Washington looking at this and saying, we have a couple of options. We be aggressive and we try and trade from 2 to 1 and go get the one guy in this draft that we think is a superstar, Caleb Williams. Or there's an offer on the table that's going to give us a ton of extra draft capital, and we can get a, not even a bridge quarterback, but a good proven NFL veteran quarterback that's just a shorter term option than what we have on the table right now, and build around this guy. Like, if you just waved a magic wand, put Kirk Cousins on this roster right now and said, you've got free agency and you've got the draft with extra draft picks, you know, in tow, do what you can to put a team around this guy. I think you could put a very good team around Kirk Cousins very quickly with that scenario.
Much more with Sam Monson in moments. You know, Sam on Thursday afternoon on X wrote the following quote, "The anarchist in me can't wait to see what the QB needy teams without an obvious pathway to a new QB do this offseason. Denver, Minnesota, Las Vegas, etc. are not in good positions and are going to have to gamble on the solution." End quote. I have to say, as a Commanders fan, it is nice to not be in a bad position to address quarterback this offseason. Our team, too many times, has been in a bad position to address the quarterback position. But this offseason, a great position. And a great law firm is Paulson & Nace. If you have a case, contact Paulson & Nace. Paulson & Nace fights for victims like no other law firm does. Chris Nace, Matt Nace, and the rest of the team do excellent work. Paulson & Nace is a Washington, D.C.-based family law firm that handles medical malpractice, personal injury, birth injury, legal malpractice, and consumer protection cases, offering aggressive advocacy for victims in Washington, D.C., and West Virginia. If you feel that you've been wronged, if you think that you've been wronged but aren't sure, call Paulson & Nace and schedule a no-obligation appointment. The phone number is 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. And when you call, tell Paulson & Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson & Nace has recovered millions of dollars for the sick and injured. How about this? Two verdicts versus Merrill Dow totaling $132 million as Paulson & Nace has taken on Big Pharma and won. Bradley versus the United States of America. Paulson & Nace won a case for which the United States government had to pay nearly $1.8 million. Paulson & Nace took on the U.S. government and won. If you have a case, contact Paulson & Nace, 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. And when you call, tell Paulson & Nace that Al Galdi sent you. You can also visit PaulsonAndNace.com. That's PaulsonAndNace.com. Just don't forget to tell Paulson & Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson & Nace, when tragedy happens, let the family of Paulson & Nace take care of your family. We're talking Commanders with Sam Monson, the lead NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus and a co-host of the PFF NFL podcast. Regarding the perceived top quarterbacks in the 2024 draft, putting USC's Caleb Williams aside, do you have a favorite out of North Carolina's Drake May, LSU's Jaden Daniels, and Michigan's J.J. McCarthy?
I mean, I'm kind of in the boat that it is Caleb Williams number one, then a gap, and a significant gap. And each one of the other guys has something about him that concerns me a little bit. I think Drake May and Jaden Daniels are kind of a toss-up, but to me, the gap is significant, and that's kind of what germinated this whole idea of, you know, if you're Washington or New England, you know, maybe you do want to go hard for the proven veteran option, because the rookie options not named Caleb Williams kind of scare me.
Interesting. What concerns you about Drake May and Jaden Daniels?
May, I think, just misses way too many plays. I think he's much more of a project than people were kind of giving him credit for initially. The tools are amazing. You know, he's got prototypical size, arm strength. He's way more athletic than I think people will give him credit for because of who he's going to get compared to. But he just misses way too many plays. You know, there's so many throws on his tape where you're like, you know, come on, why are we missing that throw? That's a routine throw. You just dropped a dime deep down the field. This should be easy. This is what we need you to make if you're going to be a quality NFL starter. So I just think he's further away from being the player he was billed as than maybe people were saying to begin with. And then Jaden Daniels, I just think there's a few kind of red flags in his profile. Number one, it took him a long time to get to where he is. You know, he's an older prospect. It didn't work out necessarily his first spot. He ended up taking a while and developing. And it's not that you hold that against him, but it's, you know, he's had years more development than some of these other guys, right? So he should be further along. Number two, he's throwing to at least two what look like first-round wide receivers. One, almost certainly. The other one, probably, the way things are going, in Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. Everything he does good tends to be vertically deep down the field. There's less sort of underneath stuff. And he is reckless to suicidal when it comes to taking care of himself, you know, running around, has an incredibly high sack rate. And that's one of those numbers that does tend to be extremely sticky from college to the NFL level. And it's at like a problematic level already, his number. And that's probably going to get worse in the NFL. So there's just some warts to his game. You know, there's a lot of good in there as well. And I'm not giving you that because we're sort of focusing on why he isn't necessarily a superstar. There's a lot of good there as well, but these are reasons to be scared of Jaden Daniels, the prospect.
As you know, it is so hard to predict how a perceived top quarterback in an NFL draft will do in the NFL. As you also know, a helpful tool in predicting how quarterbacks will do is Pro Football Focus's stable metrics, which are metrics for stable situations. Stable metrics have been shown to be predictive for future performance. A colleague of yours, PFF fantasy football analyst John Macri, he in a PFF.com piece that came out on February 14th analyzed how the 15 quarterbacks on PFF's big board for the 2024 draft compare in PFF's stable metrics. Made usage of six stable metrics. They are PFF passing grade from clean pockets, PFF passing grade on straight dropbacks, PFF passing grade on first and second downs, PFF passing grade with no play action, PFF passing grade on pass attempts beyond the sticks, and lastly, percentage of negatively graded plays by PFF. The number one quarterback out of the 15 quarterbacks on PFF's big board for the 2024 draft in terms of these six stable metrics over the last two seasons is Drake May. Jaden Daniels is number three. Caleb Williams is number six. J.J. McCarthy is number eight. To what extent do you put stock in May excelling when viewed through this prism of PFF stable metrics?
Yeah, I think they're all pieces of the puzzle, you know, but the question sort of becomes sometimes you need to apply them and try and figure out how they are impacted by the situation that each guy is in. And Baker Mayfield is an interesting example of this. Baker Mayfield, all the stable metrics were phenomenal for him. Play under pressure for Baker Mayfield play from a clean pocket was incredible. Play under pressure was really good as well. But what we didn't know is, like, what happens when you change the percentages? Because he was just never under duress at Oklahoma. Everything was wide open. You know, throws into tight windows were good, but he barely had to do that ever. So it wasn't a large sample size we were dealing with here. And we don't know the impact that simply increasing the frequency of more challenging throws will have on him. Will that actually make him worse at them simply because he's got more of them to deal with than he usually does? And if I was guessing, I would say that's why Baker Mayfield's NFL career hasn't been as good as his college career. He's still capable of incredible play, but now the baseline is more challenging. He's just being given more difficult things to do on a more regular basis. And I think that probably reduces his ability to do the overall things well. You know, he's just the average task or the average snap for Baker Mayfield is just harder in the NFL. And so he's worse at everything overall. And I think that can apply sometimes when you're looking at these numbers, that the stable numbers might look great, but sometimes it can be because of the offense they're in, and we don't know quite what happens when you shift that dynamic.
Last one for you. The Commanders this past October 26th announced the hiring of Eugene Shen as the team's senior vice president of football strategy. He is in charge of the Commanders' analytics, previously worked for the Baltimore Ravens, Miami Dolphins, and Jacksonville Jaguars. The Commanders' managing partner, Josh Harris, is big on analytics. Shen, at the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference in Boston over March 1st and 2nd, was on a panel with a colleague of yours and a recent guest of this podcast, Steve Palazzolo, who is Pro Football Focus's head of football product. Now, Shen, because he works for an NFL team, was limited in what he could say, but he said this about using analytics in preparation for an NFL draft.
As far as drafting is concerned, my feeling is that the draft model is only as good as the scouting inputs. So you can have a draft model that incorporates all the combine measurables, all the PFF grades, which are fantastic, but it's going to be terrible unless you have some scouting inputs. So I personally value our scouting inputs a lot. And my attitude is more like, this is what the scouts are telling me. Now what are we supposed to do? And if you look at it that way, I think you get better results.
I like that from Eugene Shen. We know that analytics can help an NFL team in many ways, but would you say that the greatest benefit for an NFL team from analytics is in player evaluation or in game management, i.e. fourth down decisions, two-point conversion decisions, play calling, etc.?
No, I think it's all of it. It really is. And, you know, if you pair it all back, all analytics is, on a fundamental basis, is more information in an easier to digest form, right? It's become weaponized as like a pejorative term, or an evangelicized term, if that's the word, that people are like, analytics, it's the answer. It's none of those things, right? It's just a way of getting more information in an easier to digest form. When coaches back in the 1960s were trying to find out tendencies for their opponents and they were in a dark room with an actual tape reel and they were cutting it up to create cutups, that's analytics, right? It was just Stone Age analytics done with a reel-to-reel tape recorder. PFF, for example, is able to do that work in addition to 15 times more tapes in 20 seconds, right? You just put in the filters you want. That would take a guy 2 days sitting in a dark room in the 1960s to get the same thing. But that's the analytics we're talking about here. The in-game decision-making stuff, all the analytics is doing is saying, all right, every one of these situations that's happened in the last 10 years, what does the overall number spit out? Instead of a coach sort of trying to do that guesstimate in his head and say, all right, based off my last 15 years coaching experience, where do I think this lands? It's just giving you the more information at an easier, quicker to digest touch of a button. So I think it helps in all these areas. It lets you evaluate players more efficiently. It lets you make in-game decisions more efficiently, even if you deviate away from the analytics at given times. It just gives you more ammunition in terms of information, which fundamentally should make everybody a better decision maker in all areas.
All right, Sam Monson, the lead NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus and a co-host of the PFF NFL podcast. Sam, thank you, and have a great weekend.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff from Sam Monson. So much to be thinking about with the Commanders in preparation for the 2024 NFL Draft and for next week's start of NFL free agency this offseason. A lot of great content right now at WSH on the Daily on Instagram. With everything happening with the Commanders, make sure that you're listening to this podcast. And if you're on Instagram, make sure that you're following at WSH on the Daily. WSH on the Daily just started in 2021 and yet has more than 25,000 followers and is literally daily. The page is updated every day. News, notes, reports, photos, graphics, all kinds of good stuff on the Commanders regarding the 2024 draft and free agency. WSH on the Daily is a page that properly sources and vets its news and information, doesn't just post anything that anyone says. WSH on the Daily is a great place at which you can converse with other Commanders fans regarding the team, the draft, free agency, and trades. WSH on the Daily responds to every single DM. WSH on the Daily is a page at which you can have fun, including the contest Name That Redskin and Free Wallpaper Wednesday. And WSH on the Daily always has a great fresh look. If you're on Instagram, check out at WSH on the Daily and check out at WSH on the Daily's online shop, WSHonthedaily.com. Some outstanding gear, shirts, hoodies, excellent material, modern looks. So for smart, informative, fun, and engaging Commanders content, check out at WSH on the Daily on Instagram. And for great merch, visit WSHonthedaily.com. Well, a big-time theme for the Capitals this season has been the, shall we say, teetering nature of our Caps. They've been good enough to be in playoff contention, but have been bad enough to make you think that a full-fledged rebuild is what is needed. This past weekend was a perfect example. Last Friday night, a 5-2 win over the Philadelphia Flyers at Capital One Arena in a game in which the Caps overcame a 2-0 deficit at the end of the first period. Great win. But then last Sunday afternoon, a 5-2 loss to the Arizona Coyotes at Capital One Arena as the Caps got done dirty by one of the worst teams in the NHL. Well, how about what happened on Thursday night? The Caps, on the eve of the NHL trade deadline, authored arguably their most dominant win of this season, a 6-0 win at the Pittsburgh Penguins on Thursday night. The Caps registered their largest margin of victory in a regular season shutout win since March 15th, 2021. And they did this hours after making another trade. The Caps on Tuesday evening traded winger Anthony Mantha to the Vegas Golden Knights. The Caps on Thursday morning traded defenseman Joel Edmondson to the Toronto Maple Leafs for a third-round pick in the 2024 NHL Draft, a pick originally from the New York Islanders, and a fifth-round pick in the 2025 NHL Draft, a pick originally from the Chicago Blackhawks, and the Caps, as part of the trade, retained 50% of Edmondson's salary. Edmondson is set to be an unrestricted free agent this coming offseason. The Caps got him via trade with the Montreal Canadiens this past July 1st, what was day one of NHL free agency in the 2023 offseason. But we have the 2024 NHL trade deadline on Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern. The Caps for this NHL regular season are 29-23-9 and have 67 points, good for fifth in the 8-team Metropolitan Division. But the Caps for this regular season also had the third worst goal differential in the Eastern Conference, minus 27. The Caps making the Stanley Cup playoffs this season still does not seem likely, but the Caps making the playoffs this season is not impossible, and the team pretty clearly does not want to enter into a true rebuild. And so I would expect whatever else is done by the Caps on Friday to be in line with the retool that they have been in the midst of. Charlie Lindgren on Thursday night was the Caps starting goaltender for the 16th time in 22 games, and he was great. He stopped all 39 of the shots on goal that he faced. Lindgren, per Natural Stat Trick, stopped all 14 of the high danger shots on goal that he faced, stopped all 10 of the medium danger shots on goal that he faced, and stopped all 14 of the low danger shots on goal that he faced. The Caps won 6-0 despite having 29 shots on goal to the Penguins 39, and despite per Natural Stat Trick having 41 5-on-5 shot attempts to the Penguins 45. By the way, the Caps' number two goaltender for this game was Hunter Shepard and not Darcy Kemper. Kemper was unavailable due to illness. The Caps on Thursday afternoon announced having recalled Shepard from their AHL affiliate, the Hershey Bears. Caps special teams on Thursday night, very good. The Caps went 4-of-4 on the penalty kill. The Caps scored a shorthanded goal, a shorty. Second line right wing Tom Wilson scored a shorthanded goal, 1:51 into the first period, and this happened hours after he learned that his grandfather had passed away. And the Caps went 1-of-5 on the power play, and that power play goal was scored by top line left wing Alex Ovechkin. He scored a power play goal 30 seconds into the second period for his 18th goal of this regular season, and he had a secondary assist. He did finish with just one shot on goal, but he had a goal and an assist. He also finished with 5 total shot attempts, but Ovi now has scored 10 goals over his last 15 games. Also on Thursday night, the Caps' third line was terrific. Talking about left wing Ivan Morozhtachenko, center Dylan Strome, and right wing Sonny Milano. Let's start with Ivan Morozhtachenko. He and his fifth career NHL regular season game scored his first career NHL regular season goal, an even strength goal, 16-21 into the second period. And he was number two on the Caps in 5-on-5 shot attempt percentage for the game per Natural Stat Trick at 60.71. The Caps with Morozhtachenko on the ice in 5-on-5 situations in the game had 17 shot attempts versus allowing 11 shot attempts. He did commit a penalty, a third period puck over glass penalty, but we can forgive that. The Caps took Ivan Morozdachenko with the number 20 overall pick in the 2022 NHL draft. He was considered among the most talented players in that draft. The reason that he fell to the Caps at 20 was that it, in March 2022, was announced that he had been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. So great to see him playing, and great to see him score a goal like he did on Thursday night. Third line right wing Sonny Milano, he scored an even strength goal at 2:13 into the third period, giving him a goal in each of his last four games, and he had a secondary assist, and he was number one on the Caps in 5-on-5 shot attempt percentage for the game per natural stat trick at 75. The Caps, with Milano on the ice in 5-on-5 situations in the game, 18 shot attempts versus allowing just 6 shot attempts, and third-line center Dylan Strome continued his impressive season, 3 assists, giving him a team-best 50 points for this regular season. And another standout for the Caps on Thursday night, top-line center Hendrix LaPierre. He scored an even-strength goal, 8:50 into the second period for his fourth goal in 5 games. A very nice win for the Caps, a feel-good win for the Caps. I know that the Penguins are not having a very good season, but this was a blowout win for the Caps, a blowout road win for the Caps. Here was Caps head coach Spencer Carberry during his post-game session with reporters on Thursday night, and then you'll hear a follow-up exchange with Caps insider Bailey Johnson of the Washington Post.
Overall, just a huge response from last Sunday's game or the Arizona game, and being able to come in here on the road, and we lost some players this week, some guys that we consider part of the family, and even today with Kemps being sick, Chucky gets called into action. Just another example of these guys holding together in a difficult situation, losing some players, goaltender steps up, and incredible performance tonight from our entire group.
You've talked over the last couple of days about the anxiousness of this week and how it's weighed on guys. How impressed are you with the way they respond?
Yeah, I thought I didn't notice it a bit tonight in the game, where I've noticed it a couple of the days, practices, a little bit, just being around. You can feel it a little bit in the locker room, but tonight, didn't notice it for a second, and I thought guys were real focused, thought we had great energy. It's as good as our puck play from an execution standpoint has been probably all year. The plays that we were able to make off entry, two-on-one, guys finding guys back door, slot line plays, that was impressive to watch. Stromer had 4, I think, in one ozone sequence we end up scoring on, and we could have scored 3 before that because of plays that he made. So our puck play and execution with it was as good as it's been all year. So that can tell we were really, really sharp.
All right. Next up for the Caps, home to the worst team in the NHL, the Chicago Blackhawks, Saturday night at 7. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi Podcast at yahoo.com. Monday show, episode 780. We'll have a lot for you on the Commanders, as Monday is day one of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period. Also on Monday's show, I'll talk Capitals, Wizards, and college basketball. The Caps have the NHL trade deadline on Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, and have one game this weekend, home to the NHL worst Chicago Blackhawks, Saturday night at 7. The Wizards, who have lost a franchise record tying 16 consecutive regular season games, have 2 games this weekend, home to the Charlotte Hornets, Friday night at 7, and at the Miami Heat Sunday evening at 6. And college basketball this weekend, a bunch of regular season finales. Maryland has its regular season finale. The Terrapins are at Penn State Sunday night at 7:30. Georgetown has its regular season finale. The Hoyas are at St. John's Saturday at noon. Virginia has its regular season finale. The Cavaliers are home to Georgia Tech Saturday night at 8. And Virginia Tech has its regular season finale. The Hokies are home to Notre Dame Saturday afternoon at 2:30. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Do you think they should change the name? What do you think? You do?
Yeah, I do.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.